Just a very brief overview. Just take a couple of minutes if you remember, since it's been such a long time since our seminar. We're talking about apologetics, and just like I prayed, that is part of our responsibility as Christians, to give an answer for the hope that lies within us as Christians, why we believe what we believe and why other people need to, really, ultimately. But the one major thing, if I could just put it like this, is that we need to know and understand as Christians that every single person that we encounter, every single person we talk to, is another person made in the image of God. They live in God's creation. They breathe His air. All of us are absolutely dependent upon God, even if you deny Him, even if you're an atheist. The Bible makes it really very, very plain that in our heart of hearts, what? We do know Him. We suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And so for us, that's the coolest thing as Christians, because we know that they know, even though they deny and claim they don't know or don't care to know. In their heart of hearts, they do know God. And that's the hope that we go on as believers, understanding that, number one. And then number two, always knowing that every single person, all of us, but especially those who don't believe in the Lord, have to borrow from our worldview, ultimately, to make sense of what they believe and what they do in an ultimate way. You have to borrow from God because we live in His world, man. So that's kind of what we want to get to in our apologetic. You know, we bring in evidence, of course, but remember, we talked about the evidence. People have objections to that. People have their worldview, and they have those rescuing devices, and so you can kind of go back and forth. It's not bad to bring in evidences, but don't count on those bringing people to the faith as, you know, they should. You would hope they would do that. So we know in the heart of hearts, people do know the Lord. Another thing we talked about that I spoke to very quickly is to think about where people are coming from when we're having conversations with them. Again, man, this isn't like the silver bullet. You're going to have conversations with people, man. They're going to make funny, walk away. You could feel maybe like they even won the argument. It's not about that. It's not about us trying to. It's us bringing forth the truth of the gospel, appealing to their heart of hearts where they know the Lord. They can't escape Him without wrestling with the implications of that and praying that the Holy Spirit will change their heart because God is sovereign. So don't think, I'm not here. This is going to be tough, and people, they're not necessarily going to believe you. And like I said, this isn't just like a magic bullet to winning people to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We give an answer for the hope that we have in us. So, and remember this about people. As we're talking to them, we talked about the kind of objections we face and where people are coming from. A lot of times when you talk to people and you talk to them about things of the faith and try to explain things to them, a lot of their answers will just be what? Arbitrary, remember? It's just going to be their opinion. Well, I think, okay, that's good that you think that way, but we need some evidence to that. We talked about relativism and what that means. In my opinion, you would think. That's a conjecture, you know. You would think after all these years, the way the Bible has been translated, that it's not the same thing where it started. That's ignorant conjecture because they don't know all the facts. But people just think, right? That's how you would figure that. But the one we're going to talk about tonight when it comes to miracles is the idea of, it's called unargued bias. The thing we're going to talk when it comes to miracles, and this is a pretty tough one for us, and it can get a little shaky for us along the way. We could be kind of intimidated by this objection, especially in the day and age that we live in now, because miracles are kind of a tough thing in certain ways. I don't think they are. You know, Scripture teaches them. There's plenty of evidence for it. All of that, but a big objection to the faith, and again, this is unargued bias, man, is miracles, they're just out of the realm of possibility. I don't even have to have my opinion, you know, give my opinion about that. I don't even have to have a conjecture about that. We don't even address it because we know that it's so far out of the realm of possibility that, you know, and like, right, how do you feel? Like, if somebody would come to you and say, you know, a big reason I don't believe this Christianity stuff is because all the miracles, all those fairy tales, and what you have to believe. How would you answer that? What would you say to people? I'm not putting you on the spot at all. It's more of a rhetorical question. But if you want to say something, you may. It's a little scary, isn't it?
Well, it's all written in the Bible.
It's
but see, if they don't believe in the Bible, Pastor Joe, then...
Exactly.
It's
Aesop's
fables, you know.
Yeah, it's... Aesop's fable, and then, you know, what's that say about us as Christians that believe this stuff?
Well, a lot of the miracles are backed up by secular writings also.
Yeah, that's true, and that's really good. That's good, and you could absolutely bring that in. If you have a couple of examples especially, you could bring that in. There's a lot of things that are unexplained. You don't have that, so there's definitely that evidence. But on the whole, people are going to say... For the most part, it's not even going to be a consideration. It goes against the taken-for-granted way that the universe works, ultimately. So that's what you need to know. So when people deny the miracles, we know they don't happen because things don't work that way in the universe. That's a big deal. How do things work in our universe? Very predictably, right? It's called the... we'll just keep it nice and simple tonight, like the uniformity of nature, right? The sun comes up, not really, you know what I mean, and it's going to rise at east and set in the west. We know the earth rotates on its axis. The gravity is the same. Just things we don't even think about, right? Do you think about gravity in the morning? Until you fall down. Yeah, until you're falling down or something, right? Seasons change. Physics, science, mathematics, all those things. We know these things, right? So what miracles do, and I'm just giving you, like, this is behind the scenes, this is behind the curtain kind of look at this stuff. What miracles do is they basically violate, if you want to put it that way, the laws of nature, the natural things. The whole idea, then, of miracles, walking on water. What? Yeah, that's, how's that going to, you know, calming the sea? Raising the dead. It's just inconceivable to people, most people today. The withered hand, axe heads floating, seas parting, you know, manna coming from the sky, multiplying loaves, and go on and on and on, right? So to most people today, they won't just laugh. Are you kidding me? Like your friends, your neighbors, you guys are crazy. That's kind of, and I think we're a little bit afraid of that, can be intimidated by that, but we shouldn't be, because we have... Like Jackie said, the word of God, which is true. These people made in his image, they need God. They're relying upon him for everything. So always keep that in mind as well. So, but it does come through that only naive, very gullible people can believe these things, because science teaches us different. And at this point, we could like wither, right? We can pull back, but this is where we need to be tough-minded. We talked about that at the seminar. We got to be tough. We got to be strong. Stay with Scripture. Don't leave your wingman, the Word of God. This is, we're planted there. Because here's how the argument goes. We know that miracles don't occur. We don't even have to argue that fact, for the most part. It's just taken for granted. That's, you know, think about before you were a Christian. You know, something weird things might happen over here, but for the most part, we know that they don't occur. Since Christians claim they occur and the Bible teaches they occur, and they're taught in clusters throughout the Scriptures, very much so. But the idea is, since we know they don't occur, since you guys believe those, that they do occur, Christianity and your Bible cannot be true. So that's kind of underlying the arguments, because, you know what, if miracles did not truly occur, didn't happen, then they're right, right? Because the Bible is very plain in terms of miracles. So that's kind of the dilemma. I'm kind of setting this up. We're not this behind the scenes for this. So, but what you need to know, because of man's nature, because of who he is, made in God's image, relying upon God, borrowing from God to make sense of his world, this is what you need to know inside yourself. You don't have to tell them this when you're talking to them at all, but we need to know that the conclusion they're drawing, without even thinking about it, if they just, you know, right out of hand, dude, this isn't, we're not even going to have to talk about miracles. That's just silly. That you need to know in your heart of hearts at that point, that that conclusion that they're coming to is not drawn so much, okay, as it's taken for granted according to their own worldview. Because they really haven't looked at the evidence. They really haven't come to the place where, as we explain the Bible and the Scripture, they're really not. It's just something they take for granted. It's something they just draw from the outset. Their denial of the possibility of miracles isn't a piece of evidence against Christianity. Okay, so you guys, no miracles happen. That's how they think it is. No miracles happen. That's evidence against you. It's not really that. But their denial of miracles shows that they already reject Christianity and God. They're already rejecting Him. So it's not based because there are no miracles, and the miracles didn't take place. They're already assuming it didn't happen. So they're already rebelling against God in their hearts of hearts. You just need to know that in your mind and in your hearts as you're approaching people. So what they do is they beg the question. They're just taken for granted without even having to prove what they believe. That's the idea. They have their worldview, and they don't even have to engage in ours. Does that make sense so far? Any questions about that? This is their comments. That's when they're thinking. That's a big deal. Okay. So what do we say when it comes to miracles? I don't believe Christianity. One of the big reasons is because miracles. We know science. We know that they don't happen. So how do we respond to that? I think, Sal, you came up and you said, you know, some good evidence. There is good evidence for miracles throughout. There are a lot of things that are unexplained that you can't, even doctors, you know, in certain cases, that person by all rights should be dead. It's a miracle. You can throw that out loosely these days, but there are genuine times where there's just no scientific, logical kind of explanation for a certain thing that happens. So that's certainly out there, and that's evidence that things happen that we can't explain. Go ahead, so.
I don't know so much about miracles now, because I think a lot of the miracles, like especially in the New Testament, were to establish Christ and to establish the church through the apostles. So we probably don't, what we might see is maybe miracles now might not be so much miracles as just providential workings and
exactly
the way the Holy Spirit works.
But yes. Yes.
Which were all just to establish Christ and the apostles.
I'm going to stop you right there, dude, because you're getting way ahead of me. You're already at the end of the game. Very good, very good. But just wait like 10 more minutes, because we'll be there in 10 minutes, because these aren't meant to be long. This is just to kind of give you guys, the reason I'm kind of laboring this, because I want to get to the place, because we could just give the answer and let the person wrestle with that, but I want you to get behind kind of where the people are and where the Lord has us in terms of speaking to them. This is what they're coming at you with. Here's what we know about Scripture, about God, and about them, about us. Because we all know God and we need Him. We're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. We want them to wrestle with that. So this is why I'm doing all of this. Because there is a real short answer to this. But we could just leave it there. But we don't want to do that. We kind of want to get behind. So just setting it up to get there. So let's just think about this for a minute. And this is where I want us to start thinking a little bit as we're talking to people. Again, this is just for your edification right now. And listen, when you're talking about something like miracles or what Luke's going to touch on, it's going to take some time. It's really hard. You can actually talk for a little bit. It's going to maybe take a while to establish. So if you're talking to somebody and they bring up this objection about miracles, you got to say, look, are you serious? You really want to talk? Not like that, but you know, if you're serious and you really want to talk about this, then let's have a conversation. Let's have a discussion about this, because there's some important things to think about. With what you're saying, that way you can get into a little bit more of a deeper discussion, because these are really tough objections brought up against the Christian faith. So, and that will tell you where they're at, if they're really willing to listen, or if they're just, you know, trying to get on you or something like that. So if you ask them in that way, look, if you're really serious and you want to talk about this, I will. Let's take some time and do that, even if we have to meet another time, something like that. So you could discuss these things in a in a deeper way. But here's what I want you to think about when it comes to miracles and the unbeliever. What does the unbeliever take for granted that would preclude miracles from taking place? Hint, I already told you. So just think back about 10 minutes. In their mind, what precludes miracles from taking place? Why can't miracles happen? There's no God, okay? There's no God like that. And
Doesn't fit in with the laws of nature,
especially, yes. Yeah.
Whenever people say that, if they believe there is a God, I think he spoke all of that into existence.
Yeah.
He governs it. That's what shows who he is.
That shows who he is, and he has the prerogative to do. And that's the short answer. So that's good. But think about that, because we talked about it earlier. And just for your edification, and you need to know this about the people when they say those kinds of things, because they're living in his world and they're borrowing from him to make sense of their world. One way they do that is the laws of nature themselves. The way things work, man. The things we don't even think about. The axis that we're on. The math equations, engineers, the things, gravity, all those kinds of things that we simply take for granted. This is where we need to be tough-minded, because that's what that's it, the uniformity to nature, of nature, the laws of nature, the way things work in the universe, okay? We know, and this is what we're going to say, we know that water doesn't turn into wine. If I had a glass of water here, we know what it takes to make wine, right? Fermenting process, crushing the grapes. I'm Italian. My family made wine all the time. Stomping with their feet. No, that was great. They were beyond that. They put them in those big barrels and they let them ferment and sit. That's a process, and all the chemical, everything, the science that's involved in that, all that kind of stuff. That's how you make wine. It just doesn't turn into, from water. You can have water sitting there forever and it's not going to happen. Again, walking on water, calming the sea, the sea, the wind, stop. Okay, right. That's stopping nature. How can that happen? Raising the dead, on and on it goes, like we talked about a little bit earlier. But see, they just take for granted the uniformity of nature. And here's the trick. Here's the big thing. And I'm almost done. The question that you need to already know, Janine, you alluded to this, but we need to eventually ask them, is where do the laws of nature that they simply take for granted, they don't give credit to God, they take for granted that it takes place, where do those laws come from? That's the big thing, okay? Where does the uniformity come from? And I think, do you see what I'm trying to say? When you're talking to somebody, this is another way of getting to that place. And we could bring the evidence, but they'll have things maybe to counter that. But when you start, you want them to start thinking and start wrestling about this. So where do those laws come from? Right? And if laws are out there, they always, something has to be behind those laws that are there. So the idea is, was it just like the universe that so many people who don't believe in God believe that the universe got here? By what? Chance? Luck? Time, something out of nothing. That's exact. And so, go ahead. Self-creating, and that's an oxy that can't be. Self-existing is one thing. Self-creating is a complete another thing. So, and I'm serious. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. If you're talking to students or friends, professors, anybody, your neighbor. This is how you want to get them to think. So where do on your worldview? If you deny God and what the Bible teaches. Where do these things come from? What are you putting your faith in that these things are there? They might laugh at you and say, hey, they're just there anyway and walk away. So what? That's okay. But if the Lord's working on somebody's heart, these are the kinds of things that we need to ask people. So where do they come from? They're going to just have to say, well, they've just always been there. Really? These laws, they just kind of spring when the... Yeah. And then you can also go on to explain, like Sal was saying a little bit, look, how perfectly do they have to be here? You could think about the laws, even the law of gravity, the way that works, where we're at, our place in the universe, how the earth is tilted on the... All those kinds of things could come into that this part of the conversation. And here's what we say as Christians. The Bible teaches us. And this is where, again, we're tough-minded. Here's the Bible teaches us and gives us the reason, or we can account. That's always a big deal. We can tell you why. We can account for the laws of nature. You can't tell us, you can't say where they came. You're just taking on blind faith, luck, chance, something happened, and it just everything just works the way it works because it does, and it works, and I'm glad it works. Okay. In their mind, they might even put up a tough front with you, but they're gonna think about that, hopefully, even when they go home. Do you understand? Does this make sense? This is the idea. This is what we want to talk about, instead of just bringing straight out like evidences and so on and so forth, which isn't bad to do, but this gets beyond that to the heart. And they have to think about giving an account for what they believe. And that's exactly what we're doing. We could say, we could tell you why uniformity, because we have an almighty God, self-existent God, who created all things, and he's ordained all things, as Janine was saying. He purposed all things. Right? We can make sense of how things operate. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, you could believe this or not, but we could show you, we could give you reasons why we believe. And it goes along with the way things really are. It comports with reality, in other words. It really does. Our view does, because it comes from God who made us. Does that make sense? Is this confusing? Is this like crazy? I'm trying to make this really just so you can get handles on this kind of stuff. Because it's important that you get to this place. With people, again, who are serious about it. So think about creation itself. What do you have to believe if you don't believe in God and how we got here? Something out of nothing.
Big bomb.
Big bomb. I like that. Big bomb, big bang, big boom. Something big. Something big happened. And out of that explosion, everything just kind of fell into place perfectly for us. Oxygen, air, our place, and just the sun, the distance, the moon, the distance, everything that has to happen, all the laws, everything that's there, so we as people can survive, right? You just have to believe that by luck, by chance. When you blow something up, what tends to happen, Andy? You don't see order, you don't see precision, you don't see, again, that. But that's what they have to hold to. And they still might. They still might not. I showed one kid that show, Privileged Planet, and I thought, this is really going to get him, man, because it's just so good. And showed all the, and where we're at and how we can look out to the universe, other planets you can't see because of the gases and so forth, but only Earth you could see the rest of the universe and the heavens and so many good evidence. But at the end he said, well, there's still a little bit of a chance of luck that it could happen this way. Yeah, so don't think that it's, you would hope that it would, but you want them to at least to think and wrestle with that. So we know that God sustains, maintains, everything owes its existence to God. Colossians 1, Psalm 115, throughout the scriptures, Psalm 148, it just goes on and on. And understanding that, God created everything, and here's our position, and this is what we're going to press, and never be apologizing for this, like being sorry. But look, this is what you have. Here's what we have. And it does take faith, absolutely, to believe what we believe. That God created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days, and all very good. But what comports with reality, right? Which makes more sense? What can account for the way things really are? Again, they might say my way does, whatever, you know, hopefully. But that's not up to us. We just want to bring this, what the scripture teaches, forth. So if that's the case, if God has created all things orderly, with precision, perfectly, if he upholds all things, if he sustains all things by the word of his power, then here's the deal. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing is impossible with God. This is all scripture, and he does as he pleases, right? If he actually exists, and here's back to Janine, if God actually exists, then it would be silly and wrong to rule out the possibility of miracles instead of saying, you know, we know miracles can't happen. If God truly exists, then it would be wrong of you, because if he made everything, if he created things, if he is the lawgiver, and he is behind the laws, then what's that give him the right to do? What's that give him the right to do?
Anything he wants.
Anything he wants, including bending or superseding or suspending the laws of nature because they belong to him. And that's a short answer. You could say what Janine just said, but I want to give you kind of the law so you guys could think about it. This is where you're at. This is what you're believing. Why? Can you give an account for that? Here's where we're at. This is what we believe, and here's why. And if you look out into reality, if you look out, it comports with, it goes with that. So if God is truly the creator, the sustainer, he has the right, the power, and the prerogative to suspend his laws or to bend his laws, if you will. And that's really what miracles are in the end, because they go against the laws of mathematics or nature or whatever in that regard. So he has that right to do that with the laws that he's put in place. Does that make sense? That's really the end. That's what you want to get people to think of. Now, back to what Sal was saying earlier on, and we're going to end here. Having said all this, when it comes to miracles, and this is why, a few things that you need to know. Number one, the people in the Bible weren't, they'll say, oh, those people back then, they were dumb. They were smarter than we are, especially early in the early centuries. They were very much educated in certain ways. We're educated in a different way now. But long ago, people weren't as naive and as gullible as you think. And people today are very naive and gullible, and they'll believe just about anything. Think about it, man, like what people believe in today. They're silly. You get over on them so easy. So there's always going to be that, but there's always going to be different kinds of people in society. Number two, the Bible, the miracles in the Bible are very, very rare. Okay? They're not like people say, oh, you guys believe in those myths of fairy tales. Listen, really, they're just in clusters. The first one, where do you see a lot of miracles in the Old Testament take place, especially? Well, yeah. Then after that. You said it. Exodus, yeah. This is a redemptive work of God, and he's bringing his people out of Egypt. He's rescuing his people, and so we see those miracles taking place, okay? And it's tied into his redemption, and they point beyond themselves. They're always signs. They have practical application, sure, but they go beyond themselves. They show who God is. But that's not on every single page of the Bible. It really isn't. If you read scripture, and listen, the people were just as shocked and stunned as you would be. What about Jesus' apostles, disciples? They're like, what? Who could do this? They didn't believe him for half of them. The people couldn't, you know, it was hard for even them to believe, which really authenticates it. So the second big cluster, well, clusters you have with Elijah and Elisha, and God's dealing with his people in captivity and so forth and redeeming them back. But then when's the next big cluster of miracles in Scripture? Because you have all these years of Scripture, you know, that from, of history, but there's only probably like 60 or to 100 years of miracles out of all that time. When would be the next big time of miracles? That's right, of course, when the Savior came. And like what Sal was saying earlier, that's what it was. These were signs. We're learning this, obviously, in John. They had application. Sure, people were healed. Things happened. But ultimately, they pointed beyond themselves. That's why John calls them signs, to who Christ was and is. They authenticated his ministry, backed up what he actually said. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your pallet and walk. But I'll say take up your pallet and walk, because anybody could say your sins are forgiven. Okay, yeah, right. But let me show you. Pick up your pallet and go. So those were the real purpose of miracles. And then into the early church. But as time has progressed, you don't see authentic miracles. And I would just say to Sal, to your point, I think about, I don't even know, what would you say, 98, maybe 99% of what passes for miracles, because, you know, you can have your miracle today, your miracle harvest. Here's this miracle. All you need to do is send me your money and you're going to receive. That's da-da-da-da-da. You know, that wasn't the purpose of miracles. So in that case, can God and does he from time to time perform actual miracles? Again, he's not bound, and I would say yes. But does he do it like these guys say? No. Again, 98, 99% of what you see aren't truly biblical, authentic miracles. So, and that kind of messes up with people. What about all those dummies out there say you could have your miracle today? Say, no, those guys don't. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. So, any questions on that? That's all I have. Are there any questions or comments or anything else in terms of, I know it's different.